Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 23. In this chapter, we have more of the laws of the Mosaic Covenant reviewed. In many of these laws, we see spiritual lessons which can be applied today. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. One of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 23, with some background notes. Deuteronomy chapter 23 is a continuation of the second address or sermon by Moses to the children of Israel who were camped on the plains of Moab, ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land after their 40 years in the wilderness. Now, this chapter is a long address because it is a review of the many laws of the Mosaic Covenant with exhortation to keep them. Now, as you read through this chapter, you will find a number of verses that you probably don't want to memorize as your favorite memory verses in the Bible. For example, in verse 1 we read, "He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord." So if someone asks you tomorrow what you learned from this Bible study tonight, please say more than just quoting verse 1. Seriously speaking, while many of these laws contain sensitive issues, there are also some spiritual lessons that can be gleaned from these laws for today. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for this chapter. There are spiritual lessons to be learned from the law. There are spiritual lessons to be learned from the law. Now, in this chapter, we have 7 different areas of law covered. We will make these 7 different areas 7 subpoints of our doctrinal point. There are spiritual lessons to be learned from the law. So, subpoint number 1, or A. In verses 1 through 8, the verses that we just read, we have laws concerning public worship. Laws concerning public worship. The phrase "enter the assembly" in verses 1, 2, 3, and 8 is a key phrase in this section. The restrictions here did not mean that eunuchs were put out of the covenant community of Israel or that foreigners could not become proselytes and come to know the one true God of Israel. No, these restrictions were in reference to public worship. Now, it could be that the law in verse 1 concerning an emasculated person was designed to draw a major distinction between Israel's worship and the Canaanite practice of castration as part of their worship. And verse 2 may refer to the offspring of the Canaanite temple prostitutes. The restrictions concerning the foreign nations show that God's judgment of these nations for the way they treated God's people was longstanding. The spiritual lessons from these laws for worship in the church today are many. That separation from practices of the world and that discipline in the church must be maintained are certainly spiritual lessons here. There is also the lesson of verse 2, that only those who are born into the family of God are true members of the church and are the only ones who can offer acceptable worship to the Lord. Subpoint number 2, or B. Laws concerning personal hygiene. Laws concerning personal hygiene. Verses 9 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning now with verse 9. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean because of a nocturnal emission, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp. But it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement or spade among your equipment, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse or excrement. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. Verse 13 about having a spade along when on military maneuvers is another verse you probably don't want to memorize as one of your favorite memory verses in the Bible. But you can't say the Bible doesn't call a spade a spade. Seriously speaking, these laws were mainly for maintaining personal hygiene, especially when the army was in the field. If the armies of the world had practiced this simple sanitary measure, many plagues could have been avoided. The seminal emission law in verse 10 is also covered in Leviticus chapter 15. Now, just as God was interested in the personal hygiene and physical health of his people under the law, so he is interested in the spiritual health of his people today. Subpoint number 3, or C, laws concerning the treatment of slaves. Laws concerning the treatment of slaves. Verses 15 and 16. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. The slaves mentioned here would be those who fled for refuge to Israel from their cruel masters in the surrounding foreign nations. Our responsibility to be kind and helpful to folks who have been abused and mistreated is certainly an appropriate lesson here. Subpoint number four, or D, laws concerning cultic connections. Laws concerning cultic connections. Verses 17 and 18. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. Dog here in verse 18 would be a male temple prostitute, who along with female temple prostitutes were part of pagan Canaanite worship. In no way was this to be associated with Israel's worship of the Lord, including the transfer of any money from these practices to the house of the Lord. The spiritual lesson here for us today should be obvious. The Lord does not want our tithes and offerings to be from money that was wrongfully earned. Now, this does not mean, however, that we can't channel the money of this world into the Lord's work. Remember, some of the gold of Egypt went into the tabernacle. But giving money that we've illegally or sinfully earned is unacceptable. Subpoint number 5, or E, laws concerning charging interest. Laws concerning charging interest, verses 19 and 20. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When we look at these interest laws here, as well as in both Exodus chapter 22 and Leviticus chapter 15, we see that they are in reference to poor fellow citizens in need. These laws were not for just anyone who wanted to get a free interest loan for a capitalistic venture. No, these laws were designed to help the poor and those who were in need. The spiritual lesson, of course, is to not take advantage of one another. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6:10. Subpoint number 6, or F, laws concerning making vows. Laws concerning making vows, verses 21 through 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning now with verse 21. "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform, for you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth." Under the law, no one was required to take a vow before the Lord. But if a person voluntarily took a vow before the Lord, he or she was required to keep it. Now, what does this say about the seriousness of how the Lord views our marriage vows, for example, today, that were made before him? Subpoint number 7, or G, laws concerning eating crops. Laws concerning eating crops, verses 24 and 25. "When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain." Under the law, you could eat grapes from your neighbor's vineyard or grain from his field if you were hungry, but you could not harvest anything. That would be stealing. The Lord and his disciples followed this law in Matthew chapter 12, remember. The spiritual lesson for us in this law is to share with others from what the Lord has given us and not just hoard everything for ourselves. You know, I have an idea that under the law, some of us would have chased anyone and everyone away from our fields and vineyards, even putting up fences and no trespassing signs. Right? So here in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we see that there are spiritual lessons to be learned from the law. Practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 23. Watch out for travel temptations when you are away from home. Watch out for travel temptations when you are away from home. Verse 9, once again. "When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing." When the army was out on a campaign away from home, there were many temptations which did not exist back at home where you were held more accountable. The same is true today, and not just for military personnel. Businessmen and businesswomen and holiday travelers face many more temptations on the road than they face at home. It's a well-known fact that even Christian leaders watch things on TV in hotel rooms that they would never watch at home. Who you really are could be described by what you allow yourself to do when no one is watching. Watch out for travel temptations when you are away from home.